This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We want Khalil to play for us. Him and I have had some conversations. We've talked to his representation and pounding away at that. And just, you know, hopefully we can get something done. But in terms of Khalil, love him. And I've had an opportunity to be around a lot of great players over my years. I tell the story all the time. Like, he is what you want to show young scouts what a pro is, what a great pro is all about. And he's just such a wonderful human being, such a wonderful teammate, great family. Just absolutely love him and would love to have him back.
Joe Hortz, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, on Khalil Mack. That might just be the most likely outcome for the Bills on defensive line this offseason. It's just, oh, they're just going to get Khalil Mack. All the Garrett trade talk and Max Crosby and whoever. Mack is the best available defensive end right now. Garrett's not really available. Not yet. I mean, there will most likely, there's going to come a day where we see one of the tweeters, one of the NFL insider guys go, all right, the Browns are taking calls. Here we go. Start the sweepstakes. But at the moment, that's not true. Crosby, that's not true of right now. Harold Landry, it is true of from the Titans, who's got 30 sacks in his last 3 years, but all the numbers, the win rates and the pressures and the hurries and the quarterback hits, all of it indicates that that guy is just getting cleanup sacks. Like, he is not the reason that the Titans have generated pressure. Like, he's getting there late. Someone's pushed him, the quarterback up to him, and then he's cleaning it up. So I don't love that idea. And then there is Mack, who is a free agent. Went to school here, so he's got a connection to the area. He talked about thinking he was going to be drafted by the Bills way back when, and he loved that idea, so there's that. He's at an age where it's not really like a long-term relationship, 34 years old. It just would be cool for him to play here, and it all kind of fits, right? Like, that's not why you do it. You do it because he is a good pass rusher still, who has been a Pro Bowler 3 years in a row. And, like, his 6 sacks last year compared to Landry's 9, I'll give me the 6-sack guy, when every other indication is he's constantly generating pressure when he's not sacking the quarterback. The sack numbers, like, sacks are overrated. They're a very, very elementary way of figuring out who you want as defensive end. They're not nothing. You like to see those numbers be big. But think about 6 versus 9. How many plays do these guys play in a given year? Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds. You're only going to get a sack on 9 of those plays if you're great. 15 to 20 if you're elite. It's not really that many plays. What are you doing on the other 400 plays? Are you getting the quarterback off his spot? Are you chasing him out of the pocket? Are you forcing him into an intentional grounding? Right? Those don't count on your resume. And all of that stuff points to Mack is still a very good player. You shouldn't just stare at 6 sacks last year. You should look at a lot of that other stuff and think that he's still got some juice left. The other name I wanted to talk about on the defensive side of the football for a trade idea Jair Alexander of the Green Bay Packers is available for trade. And that was reported yesterday by Ian Rappaport. And Alexander, two-time All-Pro. He was second-team All-Pro both times. You might remember him. I mean, he's a big talker. Huge talker. Trash talk and, you know, almost to the Richard Sherman level. Alexander, a couple years ago, remember the Green Bay Sunday night game where he's running, the Packers and the Bills are running out of the tunnel for warm-ups. And Diggs is just screaming at Jair Alexander. Like, the whole game, Diggs wanted to fist fight Jair Alexander. And he won that day, didn't he? Like, I'm pretty sure he had a big day, if I remember right. I remember Alexander then saying something in post-game about, you know, how, oh, I did my job. Like, Diggs only had 60 yards, but Diggs and the rest of the Bills were taking the victory lap because they won the football game. So this guy, he's a big trash talker. He's been a great player in the past, but he's got injury problems. Injury problems. He has played 14 of the possible 34 games in the last two seasons. He's missed 20 games due to injury. That's not even counting playoffs. And it's a big contract. This is one of those where I'd want to ask like a Mike Gennetti or somebody, like, what's the team acquiring him on the hook for? Because you pull up Jair Alexander, cornerback, by the way, if I needed to be said. Top-level corner. One of the best corners in football over 5-6 years. 28 years old. He's going to his age 28-year-old season. He has a $25 million cap hit for the Packers this year. So it would make sense that they're going to want to trade him because a cut takes on a lot of money and you get nothing for it. Where a trade, maybe you get the other team to take some of the money back. Signing bonus, I know it gets cut off that. So I think the Bills would be on the hook for like $16 million this year for him. And that sounds like a lot, but again, it's a big risk. He's such a good player when he's healthy. He's such a good player. You'd almost have to agree to a rework contract, right? That 16 number is probably too big. Could you get him to come here on to get him to 10? Take a pay cut to come to the Bills? Because on the surface, I can get a corner at $28 million who's a buy low right now. His value is not high because the Packers know the injury history of the last 2 years and they're on the hook for more money than the acquiring team would be. That would be an upgrade over Rasul Douglas. Again, there's ifs here, though. I asked Sal earlier, you know, about the draft picks. How much do the Bills want to ever take a risk on a player who is supremely talented, but you got availability questions? And the answer from Sal and the answer from the Bills' resume as an organization for 7-8 years now is they don't really go near those guys. They don't really go near guys that have a big injury risk. Will they never, though? Will there ever be a situation where they're willing to bite the bullet and kind of take the shot and be willing to get burned? Tyler Dunn was on last week, and Tyler talked about how he could see the Bills changing up how they do some things, maybe taking some more risks in areas that they didn't typically take risks in, and this would be one of them. So just an idea. He's a top-level corner at a position of need for the Bills, and you'd have to pay him. You probably wouldn't have to give up almost anything to get him, like a fifth-round pick, maybe, because of the contract. Do you know how those trades work? 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Ben in Chicago. Ben in Chicago on the Western Hotline. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Morning.
So, you know, I was reading an article talking about players surveying how they're, you know, various aspects of how they're treated with their team. And, you know, of all the categories, Bills players had an F minus for their travel arrangements.
Yes.
Mostly just complaining about how they get stuck in coach, you know, they can't bend the seats. It's like, man, you know, of all the things, it's such an easy way for Pegula to get some good PR. Get these guys a big, you know, Boeing 747, big seats for all the guys. I mean, pimp out the thing. It'll be awesome. I think just great opportunity. I'll see what you guys think.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. I don't know about buying a plane specifically. The Patriots actually have their own plane, and that also, I think, got an F. They were talking about like the ashtrays on the plane because it's so old. I think these things do serve a purpose. These NFLPA report cards. It's the players that are telling you what they think. But why are they doing it? Because they want their team to improve at it. That's also why they release it to the public. That's why the NFLPA puts it out there. Because they know teams don't want people to think that they're bad at all this. They don't want the embarrassment. They don't want the Bengals. They don't want everybody looking at yesterday how their food is worse than prison food. Like, that wasn't that in the review? They got an F minus for like food and like how terrible it is.
The freshness was a thing too.
The freshness of the
food.
It was
like a 3.5 or something. Like
out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't want that out there. It's geared to the point of the report card is to tell the Bengals, hey, come on. Clean up your act here. Give us some real good. Give us some food. What's the point of the Bills players and the PA putting out this about their travel? It's, hey, come on. Let us sit in the big seats. We got guys that are 6'7". How big is Spencer Brown? We got guys that are 6'9", 320 pounds. Give them the extra leg room. Come on. That's all it is. And also, team travel is the only thing the Bills really did really poor at.
Spencer Brown is 6'8", 311.
6'8", 311. Come on, Spencer Brown in first class. Not even because, you know, oh, it's the player privilege and everything. It's not even about that. It's just size, leg room. That's it. And again, the Bills' team travel was the only thing they did worse than a B in. Everything else was at least a B. One other thing. Training staff. And here you go. It's already in action. Training staff got a C. 27th out of 32 teams. Players feel that their training staff slightly contributes to their overall success. 25% of Bills players report they did not receive enough one-on-one training treatment. So what the Bills do? They're going to have a new strength and conditioning coach. They've already made that change. 803-0550 is the phone number. More time for your phone calls. I got a Sabres trade thing I want to get to before the end of the show, too. Patterson drama in Vancouver continues. This is WGR.